Isn't that a blessing? Is your soul still tonight? I'm glad time is hastening on, isn't it? Boy, time flies, don't it? But here after a while, we're going to land in at the port. That old ship of Zion is going to sail by, and we're going to go that way. I was thinking about Miss Linda. And obviously, when hospice is called, morphine starts. It's just a matter of time. But I want you to think about that. The destination is beautiful. Think about that. And appreciate that. Would you open your precious Bible tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians? We're going to finish what we started this morning. And how many of y'all like bologna? Would you raise your hand? You like bologna? How many of you like a fried? Fried bologna. Yep, fried bologna. And someone said that good preaching is just like bologna. You can slice it off, cut it off anywhere, and it's still good. Amen? And so, but I guess if you don't like bologna, it ain't no good to you, right? But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's look at verse number 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, Sophanes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift. Now, we're going to talk about that tonight. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now again, this epistle is written to a church. So when he speaks to you, I beseech you, brethren, he's talking to a church. He tells us what particular church that he's specifically speaking to in verse 2, the church at Corinth. We talked about that this morning, the importance of a local church in a community. That was one of the things that I loved about Tiftonia Baptist. I love a church named after the community, after the area. The reason being is I believe that's scriptural. No, I'm not against any other name of a church either. I'm just saying, I like the fact because when you read about the churches in the Bible, they're always affiliated with an area. With an area. And so I was thankful when this was Tiftonia. Now, when I first explained to me Tiftonia, when someone, I think it was Brother Jimmy, when he called, I said, Tiftonia, I think that was one of the first things I asked. I said, well, where did Tiftonia come from? He said, well, that's what our area is called. And I loved it. The moment I heard that, I appreciated that. But we find here that the Bible says it was the church at Corinth. And so we've talked about this. We talked about the origin of the church. We said that this was not a man-made institution. And the reason I'm preaching on this is I started just a series a couple months back on just the basics. We're trying to get back to the basics. So we talked about the depravity of man. We talked about the joy of salvation. We talked about one of the ordinances last Sunday morning on baptism. I didn't speak on the Lord's Supper because I feel like we usually give an explanation of the Lord's Supper every time we do that in the year. But I want to deal with the church today. And then next week, I want to deal with the Word of God, the Bible. Just basic Bible principles. And so we're looking at the church. We see the origin. This was not a man-made institution. We are part of something far greater than just any organization that's here on this earth. So we talked about that this morning. We talked about our significance as a church. Lookout Valley is blessed to have a church like this. The church in Lookout Valley or Tiftonia area. Now, we're not the only church. I understand that. So, we talk about the significance. We've talked about our sanctification. The Bible says we're sanctified in Christ Jesus. So we talked about the origin. Then we talked about the ordination of our church. We talked about the opportunity that we have. The opportunity we have as a church. Think about it. Our abundance. The Bible says we are enriched in Him. Again, I'm just quickly going through review. But this tonight, I want to deal... We looked at the origin of the church, the ordination of the church, and the opportunity of the church. But tonight I want to look at the last two things. I want you to notice the obligation of the church. Now, I believe in verse 7 through 9, we find and consider some obligations. Now, I know we live in a day where people do not like obligations. One reason I believe people should belong to a local church is it gives accountability. Amen. Gives accountability. Now, we live in a day where people don't want accountability. I don't like accountability. I want you to think about that. But when we're accountable to others, it puts a really, I've made this statement before, it's really a good pressure on us. It's a good pressure. We should look at obligation. You know, I thought of this the other day. People were handing in money for the Bibles. And I'm just telling you this. I don't handle money here. I try not to handle any money here at all. I just don't do it. I'm not comfortable doing it. Now, here's the catch on that. The catch on that is you better trust me with your money. Because I wouldn't want a pastor that I wouldn't, that couldn't trust with my money. But at the same time, because of obligation and because of what's the other accountability, I don't handle it. It's safe. And that's no problem for me. I have no problem. You say, well, why? Because it's accountability that I think is good. I'd rather have accountability than not accountability. Well, it's a good pressure. So when we're in a church, we belong to a church, we talk about the obligations of the church, it gives an accountability that is a good pressure for us. You know what? Tonight, these children coming up here is a good pressure for all of us. You know why? Could you imagine us living a kind of life hurt one of these children? That's good pressure. So we see the obligation, church. Let me give you some of these. Look at verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift. What's that mean? He's talking to the church. Here's what it means. The Lord has given this church at Corinth, and He's given our church here at Tiftonia all the abundance. We have everything available, and we have access to everything that heaven affords. We have no excuse. None. At all. None. To not do what God has called us to do. You say, well, Pastor, I can't. Good. I know you can't. But He's able. See? You have no excuse. I hear people all the time. Well, it's just, wait just a minute. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Have no excuse. The Bible says that you come behind in no gift. No excuse. I tell you what, we live in a day. And by the way, when I give them, I hate them too. But I hate when people give excuses. And sometimes we've gotten so good in that, we've made every excuse. But here's what I've learned about excuses. All they do is help us to fail. That's all they do. It gives us an okay when we make excuses to do less than what God wants us to do. I've said this often. I'm thankful that I was raised the way I was raised. I was raised in a good, loving home. By the way, it wasn't perfect. My parents weren't perfect. We weren't perfect. My sister certainly wasn't perfect. Hey, man. And I can promise you this, I was far from perfect. Still is. Still am. Still are. Imperfect. But I'm thankful the way I was raised. But I want you to know something. We live in a day now, and I'm not being ugly, and I try to sympathize with people. I really do. But there's a catch-22 there, because if certain people were raised a certain way, if you're not careful, you'll use the way you were raised and the bad things that took place to make an excuse to continue to do them. My father was not a drunk. I'm thankful for that. But even if he was, just because he was, gives me no excuse to be one. But that's the day we live in. And you say, Pastor, why? Well, because the Bible says, this is what this means. No excuse. We are expected to live and serve the Lord. The church, God expects the church at Tiftonia to serve the Lord and to do His work. He said, you're not to come behind in no gift. He wants us to serve Him according to His will, to be behind in no gift. I fear that many never comprehend or embrace this obligation. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that's a lot of reasons why people choose the kind of churches that they go to. Because I'm going to be honest with you, work and labor has always been hard. And I've learned this, serving the Lord is work and it's labor and it's sometimes difficult. And all of you that serve and do something for the Lord knows that it can be a very big struggle. But the Bible says that we need to understand that we should be in the work of the Lord, to become behind in no gift. The Lord expects us to use what we have been given for His glory and for the good of others. Where would we be without the labor of Christ? I even think of my own life. I grew up in Hinton, West Virginia, and you know, I went to Riverview Chapel. And the church I grew up in, you know, they taught different things about that, but the truth was, I didn't realize, if someone would have come up to me and says, who's your pastor? I would have said Mr. Pilkington, but I grew up in a church where they didn't believe in a pastor. They believed in a plurality of elders, but here was the thing, there was never a plurality of elders there. Mr. Pilkington did the work. He did the work. He did the work. He was the one that went to the hospital. He was the one that was there. He was the one that prepared for the messages. He was the one that gave spiritual insight and instruction to the church. He was. So if someone was to come to me and say, who was your pastor? I would have without reservation said Mr. Pilkington. And here's why I bring all of that up. I thank God for his labor. I thank God for he and his wife's work and their sacrifice and their substitutionary. Because I want you to know something. They weren't always treated right. But I'm thankful that I'm a product of their labor. That's what I'm saying. I'm a product. And do you know that there are people that's going to leave this building and you are going to have an influence in their life and they are going to be a product of you. That's what he's saying, that you come behind in no gift. We have no excuses that we should not be serving the Lord in this day. We have obligations. Now I want you to notice this. Look at our anticipation. We're talking about the church now. In verse 7, the Bible says, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless. Now think about this. Here's what Paul is urging this church, and I'm urging you, based on the Word of God, that we should live in anticipation of the Lord's coming. Now church, don't get lulled to sleep. He's on His way. I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't care if He come right now. Be quite honest with you. How many of y'all would be disappointed if you come right now? Wouldn't be a bit. Some of you, said, well, at least wait till we get past vacation. Amen. Hey, I wouldn't be able to go. I wouldn't need to, praise God. Talking about rest, I'll get more rest up there, I believe. Hey, Paul urged them to come to live in the anticipation of Christ's return. Now look, we know the Lord's coming again, and we'd get lulled to sleep sometime. But look, can I ask you this? I think most of us, if we were aware that it could happen at any moment, how do you think that would change the way we live? Y'all know that old story that I told. I've told it many times. I was in Knoxville. Laura had to travel in. She took the kids. I had the weekend, and man, I knew I had the weekend. I vegged out in the living room. I didn't do one dish. I believe doing dishes is overrated. I love Chinese food. I had to work that Saturday. I was waiting. It was the third week in October, and at one time, that was a big, big day for all of us football fans, and I knew what that meant, man. It was going to be the Alabama Crimson Tide against the Tennessee Volunteers. And the whole time I was up in Knoxville at Bible College, the Bama never beat Tennessee the whole time I was there. But I watched every game. And I remember, man, I vegged out on that porch, on that couch. I had dishes everywhere. I had my Chinese carry-out boxes everywhere. I made a mess, didn't do a thing, because I knew she wasn't coming home till Sunday or Monday. Lo and behold, whoa, here comes somebody through the door, and my wife caught me living like I shouldn't have been living. And I've often thought about that. Is that the way the Lord's going to catch us? I mean, I knew she was coming, I just wasn't prepared for her coming. I wasn't living like she was getting ready to come, and I'm afraid the church is not living like we know he's getting ready to come. He's telling us that we ought to expect him any particular moment he could be here. And all of you say amen. Absolutely. So her anticipation. Then I want you to notice her continuation. Look at verse 9 with me quickly. Verse 9. Here it is. God is faithful. I like that. Aren't y'all thankful he's faithful? By whom you were called into the fellowship of his son Jesus Christ. See, here's what's amazing about this. The Lord has a close fellowship with us. Look at that verse. We are called into the fellowship of his son. The fellowship of his son. Think about that. Because of that fellowship, we are obligated to the Lord's work because of that fellowship. I want you to think about that. See, why did the Lord come here? He came to save sinners. What are we obligated to do? Get that message out. We ought to be trying to seek and to see people saved for the Lord. We provide, look, he provided healing. He touched people's lives the whole time he was here on earth. He worked. He did what God wanted him to do. And look, here's what the church has been called to do. Because we have fellowship with him, we are called to continue his work. You ever thought about this? Why didn't he just save you and take you straight to heaven? We got a work to do. We're to carry on. Someone told me years ago, you know, the Lord has arms, the Lord has legs, the Lord has eyes, but he uses all of those things through us in this world today. Think about that, the continuation. The church has been called to carry on the Lord's work. Have you ever thought about that? We're here to carry on the Lord's work. Here's the question. Are we? Are we? I'm going to be honest, and I'm not knocking anything. I'm just telling you the truth. We've got in a culture now in America that these people are looking for these churches where they're always looking to see what that church can do for them. Well, I want to go to that church because I can get hit. I can hide in that crowd, and I won't feel obligated to do anything. I can just go. I can slip out. I can slip in, and there's no obligation there. But I want you to know something. Because we have a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, here's the question. Are we getting God's work done? I'm going to be honest with you. Most churches in America has lost sight of the Great Commission. They've just lost sight of it. Go into all the world, what? Preach the gospel. Be interested in trying to see people say, no, I know today's a different day. I know, and I'm not saying this in a negative way. We still ought to try. And we're still going to hand out these door knockers. It's just been so hot. I hate it for anybody to go out and have a stroke on our account. But when this thing cools down, we're going to have a big push. And I think we should go out into this whole area and then the surrounding area. And we ought to be able to hang out door knockers. I do know today, because of crime, because things have changed. Back in the 70s, people didn't mind opening the doors. But today, you can knock on 80 doors and you might get 3 people to answer. I'm just being honest. It's just because of the day, it's different. But I'm going to tell you something, we still ought to try. And not only should we not only try, we ought to be very thoughtful and maybe open up. That's why we have other things during the year through our church, like the Family Fall Festival. It's a huge outreach. Our Vacation Bible School is a huge outreach. The parade is a huge outreach. We have a lot of times during the year, and we need to have more. We're going to do the door knockers and make sure we have the hangers on people's things. But the reason being is because why? We cannot lose sight of the Great Commission. This is not a social club. We come here to get fueled up, to go out, give the gospel. Live what we've learned. By the way, worship is not a bunch of hoopla. I'm not against, people worship the Lord, and there's no doubt there's, but now we have all of these different ideas of how to worship the Lord. But when you study worship in the Word of God, it's always in obedience to Him. So we see, we're anticipating her continuation. Most churches, I'm sad to say that we've lost sight of the Great Commission. There's no place, here's the thought, and I'm going to close with this next one. There's no place for the church to quit or to stop. No place for us to sit down and quit. So all of us should be serving the Lord and carrying on the Lord's work. Now, you're gifted different than I am. I'm gifted different than you. All of us have different gifts. I'm thankful for that. If everybody was like me, God help us, we'd be in a mess. But all I'm asking you is pray and ask God, because I'm going to be honest with you now, we need help. We need help around here. We need work. We need volunteers in the bus ministry. And I know that ain't everybody's cup of tea, but pray about it. Pray about it. It wouldn't be something you do every Sunday, every Wednesday. We get enough people, we can rotate things in and out. We've got other things that can be helped with. And so I want you to be praying about what God could use you. Why? Because we need to carry on the Lord's work. That doesn't mean that everybody has to teach a Sunday school class. There are so many areas of opportunity of service, and all of us should be serving the Lord and using our gifts for the Lord. And then I'm going to close with this. We've talked about the ordination of the church, the origin of the church, the opportunities of the church, the obligation of the church. But here's the last one, I'm going to close. The organization of the church. Look at verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something right now. If every church member would get a hold of that verse right there, and by the way, we ain't never had a split while I've been here. And praise God, I want y'all to know something. We ain't going to have one either. Amen. You know why? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. If we're all of the same mind, we speak the same thing, and we have no divisions among us, we'll be perfectly joined together in the same. We're all happy where the Lord's using us. And we all understand that we are part of the body. I'm glad my toe ain't fighting my other toe. I'm glad this hand ain't fighting this hand. And it's the same in the church. We're all important. We're all to fitly join together. We're to be maturing. As Christians, there must be an organization. And here's really what we understand, even reading this passage. Christ is the head of the church. He's the head. He's it. He's who's given us our orders. He's the one that's written the book on the church, the handbook for the church, the Bible. He's written it. Look, a local church cannot function for God if Christ isn't the head. Can't function. It won't function. Think about this. The Lord should be consulted in every aspect of this church. Why? Because it's His. Before you or me frivolously just think, oh, well, here's a good idea. We need to consult the Lord. Consult His Word. Make sure that it's something that would not be contrary to His Word. Why? Because He is the founder of the church. He's the head. He's given us the instructions. The members as a whole should be submissive to Him. Think about that. Look, church can't be run by the pastor. The church can't be run by deacons. And by the way, I've seen both. I've seen churches run by both. I've seen them so pastor-led. And by the way, I'm for pastor leading. But a pastor can't run the church. It's not his to run. But then I've also been in churches where there's been a group of deacons. They've tried to control and run everything too. Both are wrong. It's not mine. It's not the deacon's place to run the church. God runs the church. I believe, and you know this, and I believe you believe this. I also understand, I believe that God ordains the pastor as a shepherd or the overseer of the flock. That's different than running it. He's an overseer. This is God's work. If you are leading in an area, if you have a Sunday school class or you're teaching children's church, that's not yours, it's God's, but you're overseeing it for Him. And ultimately, I'm overseeing things for Him. I'm not running it, but I do believe in the under-shepherd. I do believe in the overseer. But it's not my church. This is Tiftonia Baptist Church. You know why I know that it's God's, because listen to me. Now, I hope and pray that this isn't true. But if I was to die tomorrow, you know what? This church is going to be just fine. She's had pastors in the past. Y'all didn't shut up the door and shut down the doors. Come on now. This thing ain't going to end. You know why? Because I ain't running it. It's going to keep going because it's not mine. It's the Lord's. This church has been going on since the 40s. A long time. Long before I was even a thought. See, but you know what we do? We walk around like, this is mine. You know what helped me with that? One day I was reading the book of Genesis. You know Abel was the promised seed? Cain and Abel? Cain killed him. Oh no, what's God going to do? He was the promised seed. Here's what I love, boy. After he was cured, here's what the Lord said. And God gave another seed. Now, I know that don't really help us because it kind of makes us feel obsolete. But you know, I'm going to be honest with you. If I pass off the scene tomorrow, everything will be just fine. We must all understand our place, get in our place, and stand united in Christ as a church. It's not our church. Now, it is our church. You understand what I'm saying? But it's His. Y'all with me? How many of y'all are glad that you say, oh, well, where's your church? Tiftonia Baptist. So it is your church, but you understand for running purposes, it's God's. You know what else I've learned about serving God in the church? It's not about us getting our way either. Amen. Some people get so put out and hurt and upset and mad because they didn't get their way. Serving God isn't about getting our way, but serving God His way. That's a good quote. But serving God His way. Look, a church united in Him, y'all ready? I'm going to give y'all a big one here. Can't fail. Can't. Cannot. Will not. Especially how you know, but God's promise on it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And boy, it's tried. The gates of hell. And I told y'all this morning, I think one of the greatest attempts to try to attack the church has been through the pandemic. I think the greatest attempt in our history of America, right there. I'm not saying that the virus wasn't real. We all know that real. I get all of that, but I'm telling you, the forces were at work where everything else was okay to be open, but it was all of a sudden funny how church was becoming an issue. But I appreciate what Cobby said the other day, or maybe it was Brother Curran. I think it was Brother Curran over at the prayer breakfast. I'll tell you what the pandemic did, though. It opened up social media to the gospel. Hey, never in my life. You couldn't get on a social media platform not hear a devotion. You couldn't. There's more people online. There's more churches streaming online now. There's more people watching online and seeing churches and Word of God. And you know, you could check out church after church after church. I know just friends of mine, all of them are on Facebook, and I can see what happened at their church on last Sunday. Y'all with me? That's an amazing thing, isn't it? I think of that old verse in Corinthians where the Bible says, "For you knew nothing against the truth before the truth." I'm glad our church will never fail as long as we stay united in Him. Are y'all with me? All of you that plan on staying united in one another and stay in love with one another, we're going to have the same mind, same spirit. All of y'all that want your church to stay united, would you stand to your feet? Plus, you'd like to get on up out of here. Brother Robert's working tonight, and I was picking with Robert today. I said, he's always amen, and hour and a half, hour and a half. You don't preach long enough. And so, I got him today. I said, "Well, Brother Robert, if I preach an hour and a half, you and I'd be the only ones left." I said, "You'd be asleep." He's just back there grinning, like, "Yes." And I went, amen. But I'm going to be good to our people tonight. Y'all get out 7 minutes early. How many of y'all want our church to stand united? How many of y'all believe Jesus Christ is the head of this church? Absolutely. We have His guide right here. Let's just follow the guide. Follow the book. It won't fail us. Amen. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We won't even have to have a piano tonight. Miss Laura's worked her fingers to death today. Let's just do this. Let's just close in prayer. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I think everyone here is home folk. If you're saved, or if you're not saved, you know the altar is always open. But I want to just ask you tonight, why don't you just stand where you are, and let's just pray, and let's ask God to bless us as a church family, and that we will continue for the glory of God. Could we just end in prayer that way? Would you pray with me as I pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace. Now, Lord, I do come to You tonight. I thank You for the promise that You've given the church. Lord, I'm thankful that You have placed this work, this local congregation, and our base is right here out of Tiftonia area. Lord, our mission field is Lookout Valley, Hamilton County, Chattanooga, America, the world. And Lord, I'm thankful that we're trying to reach all of those people groups. Now, Lord, I pray that You'll put a hedge of protection around us. And Lord, I thank You for leading us and guiding us. Help us not to be trying to serve You in our way, but Lord, that we'll serve You for Your way. And we'll thank You for what You do. Now, give us all a wonderful week. Help us to go out and about inviting people to church as we come in contact with them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great night. Remember, we'll be leaving tonight, and we'll see you Sunday next week. If you need me, give us a call.